Today on Annenberg Radio News.
He's here to promote his agenda of anti-Jewish, anti-Baha'is, anti-gay, anti-women.
Iranian Americans speak out about Iran's president, who is visiting the United States. This is Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, September 25th. I'm Jennifer Chapsky. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad spoke to the United Nations today, saying his country will disregard the Security Council's resolutions on limiting Iran's nuclear program. LA's Iranian community is listening closely to Ahmadinejad's comment. Jorbeen Radfar, a resident of Little Tehran in Westwood, says Ahmadinejad didn't say anything new.
He's a propaganda guy, you know, he likes, you know, to say that, you know, he's a nice guy or whatever, and he's going to show that he's something different than whatever West think about him.
Radfar said he doesn't agree with Ahmadinejad, but his feelings for the Iranian leader are mixed.
Somehow, yes, because, you know, he, otherwise, you know, West want to just go all the way and, you know, just we're going to be another puppet country. But in the sense that he represents us, no.
Earlier in the day, European leaders threatened to impose tougher sanctions on Iran if it tries to arm itself with nuclear weapons. But Radfar hopes the leader will leave the U.S. as soon as possible. Demonstrators took to the streets in Westwood today to protest the war in Iraq. But the turnout wasn't as high as expected. Sam Farber has the story.
They were supposed to be in the hundreds, perhaps even thousands, meeting in front of the federal building in Westwood to protest the war in Iraq. Instead, only about a dozen protesters met, but their message was clear.
Stop the war in Iraq. Stop the war on immigrants.
Congress has the power. They were voted. They were voted. Now they're in both houses. And the voters expect them to stop this war immediately.
Organizers say a larger march, perhaps numbering in the tens of thousands, will begin right here in Westwood on the 29th. In Westwood, Sam Farber, Annenberg Radio News.
Negotiators from the United Auto Workers and General Motors returned to the bargaining table today. It's the second day of a nationwide strike. Economists say there may be long-term effects on the auto industry, even if the strike concludes in the next few days. General Motors communications manager Tom Wickham says the company still has 950,000 cars in stock.
Not going to get into any speculation as to what long-term impact might be on dealer inventory or on sales. Our focus right now is on reaching an agreement as soon as possible, getting our plants back in operation as soon as possible.
Two of the three service and parts facilities in Southern California are involved in the contract dispute. 73,000 GM employees in the U.S. walked off the job yesterday morning shortly after their contract expired. The strikes affect 160 UAW members in the Southern California area. Los Angeles Unified School District teachers protested against the school district today. For the past 8 months, some teachers have been overpaid while others are not getting paid as much as they should. The payroll system was installed in February and cost the school district $95 million. The district hired consultants last week to fix the payroll system's problems. Arguments continued today in L.A. Superior Court on whether the LAUSD's magnet school policy is unconstitutional. The American Civil Rights Foundation filed a lawsuit in 2005, arguing that LAUSD cannot consider students' racial backgrounds in determining admission to magnet schools. The school district says it is following court-ordered desegregation programs. Peter James is a lawyer representing the LAUSD.
If race isn't used, because the Los Angeles district is residentially so severely segregated, you would not get desegregated schools, and that getting desegregated schools is the only reason they were created in the first place.
Superior Court Judge Paul Gutman said today he will not have a decision before late October. And now for the weather. Expect clear skies and temperatures in the upper 50s tonight. Tomorrow will be sunny with a high of around 80 degrees. Next up on Annenberg Radio News, Watch out, iTunes. Amazon now offers music downloads. We'll have the full story coming up. Thousands of people are on a kidney transplant waiting list. UCLA Medical Center has a new program to help people get kidneys faster. Sandra Altamirano has more.
Nearly 16,000 people are on the kidney transplant waiting list in California alone. Kazuyuki Furuya and Stella Williams were two of those people. Kazuyuki's daughter, Tiffany, wanted to donate one of her kidneys to her father. Stella's son, Jason, wanted to do the same for his mother. Both children wanted nothing more than to help out their own parents. But there was one problem. They were not a match. The children may not have matched their own parents, but they did match each other's. Dr. Gabriel Donovich is the medical director of the UCLA Kidney and Pancreas Transplantation Program.
What I think we're seeing is people spreading the love. And organ donation, living organ donation, is a magnificent way that people can express their love for their loved ones when they're sick.
Before this program started, both Stella and Kazuyuki were on dialysis, a process that filters out the toxins in the blood. For Stella, this was a depressing process.
I felt like a prisoner. I felt like my husband was a prisoner with me, so it wasn't fun. Now it's just a matter of taking my medicine, and I can, be free of the machine.
Stella isn't the only one free of the machine. Kazuyuki had been on dialysis for 6 years and is thankful to Stella's son, Jason.
He's my son. A son that I never had.
Kazuyuki's daughter, Tiffany, donated her kidney to Stella and says she was up and walking the very next day.
I'm a little sore, but other than that, I feel pretty good. It's pretty crazy that they took an organ from me last week, 5 days ago.
Doctors hope to see the live organ donation program spread both nationally and internationally. Sandra Altamirano, Annenberg Radio News.
Amazon launched its online music store this morning, and it's set to go head-to-head with iTunes. Matt Mundy has more on what this means for music fans.
iTunes, watch out. Its dominance of the online music industry may be short-lived as Amazon MP3 has entered the ring. More than 2 million songs from 180,000 artists will be on sale. The price for the songs range from 89 to 99 cents, making it about the same price or even a bit cheaper than iTunes. While Amazon awaits input from customers, the brand new initiative has music fans like Lizzie Mitri eager to try it out.
I think definitely if it's cheaper and offers like a wide variety of music like iTunes, that it could be a good competitor to iTunes, and I would consider buying from them.
One of the big selling points from Amazon is that customers can use any hardware device for their music, organize it how they please with any application, and burn their music to CDs. Most iTunes songs are protected by DRM, or Digital Rights Management, which restricts how iTunes songs can be used. Some music users, like Jacqueline Emmerich, say they will still probably stick with what they know.
I mean, I probably look at it, but I don't really have any problems with iTunes, and I don't really intend on using my music other than for my iPod, so it's kind of like unnecessary for me, but I think it's a good move for them.
With iTunes dominating the marketplace, analysts see the competition as a good thing. But USC professor Jonathan Taplin says Apple is probably not losing too much sleep quite yet.
The great thing that Amazon has going for it is a very large customer base, and it has a pretty good recommendation engine, meaning if you like this, you might like this. And that's something that its own customers have come to trust. So in terms of the competitive field, it has as good a chance as anyone. But with Apple iTunes still having about 80% market share, it's got a long way to go.
If you want to see how the new service stacks up to iTunes, cruise on over to AmazonMP3.com. Matt Mundy, Annenberg Radio News.
More than 35,000 Buddhist monks are protesting against the military leaders of Myanmar, defying curfew and gathering bans. President Bush announced new sanctions against the former nation of Burma in a speech at the United Nations today. Tory Van Oot spoke to a local Burmese man about the problems in his home country.
Tension in Myanmar, formerly known as Burma, continues as the government takes steps to curb growing dissent. Buddhist monks and anti-government protesters have been staging peaceful demonstrations for over a week. They are defying a government order to stay quiet. Los Angeles resident Ong Mo Win is from Burma.
We're not allowed to talk freely at all. Like, you know, if you look at like media, is very, very restricted by the government, and everything is censored. You know, you cannot criticize about like education, you know, religion, or how government is not fair.
The demonstrations began last month when the government drastically increased fuel prices. The protests have attracted thousands of people. Observers compare the situation to the 1988 uprisings over economic controls that wiped out the savings of the poor.
Yeah, like, so, like, you know, so a lot of people lost money, you know, at the time. Like, you know, and, like, this time around, it's like government raised the price of the fuel by 500%. So it is like, you know, announced, and like, you know, people are already in like very difficult living situation. Like, so it is hard the most to the working, you know, working people.
Win says people are tired of the dictatorship, which has ruled since 1962.
People, you know, like, we don't want to lose this time. Like, you know, if we lose this time again, we have to, like, struggle back. Like, we have to risk our life again for, like, at least 20 years.
In 1988, 3,000 protesters died in violent clashes. The government has not used force this time, but there is an increased military presence in large cities. This is Tori Van Oot, Annenberg Radio News.
Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad's visit to New York has stirred controversy. Today he addressed the UN General Assembly. Yesterday, during a speech at Columbia University, he questioned the U.S. version of the September 11th attacks, and he defended Holocaust revisionists. Beverly Hills Mayor Jimmy Delshad is an Iranian-American who is also Jewish. I asked the mayor today how he feels about Ahmadinejad's statements.
His statements really angers me, but I didn't expect anything more from him anyway. He talks from two sides of his mouth. He's really a person not to be trusted, and he actually lies on his statements, so he avoids them. So it hurts me to see that one of our leaders and people that are supposedly leading such a great nation of Iran, 2,500 years of a great nationhood, is now run by people like that. So it offends me as a Persian American. It offends me as a human being.
Now, today Congress passed by an overwhelming majority sanctions aimed at blocking foreign investment in the Iranian energy sector. Do you feel that at this point, given your feelings on Ahmadinejad, that the sanctions were the right way to go?
Short of war with Iran, we have to put enough pressure on that government, mostly on the areas of military, energy, and atomic bomb and so forth, to bring him to a point that they can realize that they cannot push us around, because they are actually taking advantage of America's involvement in Iraq and presuming that nothing will happen, so they are pushing as much as possible.
It sounds like then you generally feel that the United States is taking the proper steps.
I would say it may not be all of it. There are some other steps that also I believe should be taken. But
and what are those?
I would even encourage this talk with them. I mean, it's I'm not encouraging him or encouraging us to give him a forum to talk and talk at universities and CNN and all that, but on the lower level have discussions with them so that they will hear us directly rather than through third parties, what our intentions are and hearing from them our intentions. So I do not agree of a complete boycott of discussions. I think discussions should go on under certain circumstances.
Jimmy Delshad is the mayor of Beverly Hills and the highest-ranking Iranian-American elected official in the United States. Now we check in with Ashley Chang to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Well, thanks, Jennifer. Here's a little bit of a glimpse into what we're doing tonight. We have a story on the UN General Assembly. We're going to be talking about what's going on there. We're also interviewing a professor at USC who is an expert in international law and has worked for the UN, so it's going to be great to hear his perspective. Also, bishops are voting to see if whether gays will be permitted to become bishops in the Episcopal Church. We're still waiting to hear the verdict, but maybe something will come up before 6 o'clock. And of course, we're going to be covering the release of Halo 3. We've been talking to a professor of the video game development, and we've also been interviewing customers at GameStop. So we'll give you the facts in preparation for it. And if you can't watch us tonight, which I hope you do, watch us online at atvn.org.
Thanks, Ashley. We have breaking news. A magnitude 3.9 magnitude earthquake just hit Riverside County. So far, there's no reports of damages or injuries. That's it for Annenberg Radio News. For everyone here, I'm Jennifer Chapsky.